Today's reading is taken from Luke chapter 12, verses 32 to 40. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Watchfulness. Be dressed and ready for service. Keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return for the wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you. I'm going to spend a few minutes talking about God's word and trying to explore what it looks like for us. In August, we don't run our kids groups. But if you think there is a chance that having something to do with your hands would help you sit through the next part of our service, at the back of church, we have got, and Nathan is holding up for us, we've got some craft kits to make some little lanterns so you can be like the servants in the story, being ready for Jesus' coming. And there is a word search for you to search for some of the words that are in our reading so you can be watchful like those servants as well. It's not age restricted. If you look at me and think, I don't fancy it much, I'm going to go and make a lantern, I won't judge you. Let's just pray for a moment as we gather. Father God, we thank you so much for the gift of your word. Would you speak to us through it by the gift of your spirit? That by word and spirit we'd be changed as your people, so we might leave this place different from how we arrived, and more able to know you and to serve you as we seek to build the kingdom of God. We ask this in his name. Amen. I stood waiting in the cul-de-sac. At 8 years old, I hadn't quite worked out how uncool my brother was, and I was desperately waiting for him to come home so that I could play with him. I had my bike out, I was cycling up and down the cul-de-sac waiting, and he didn't come. So I decided to start playing on the neighbour's little wall, and I was jumping up and down and having a look so I could see, I'm sure, metres further than when I was standing on the ground. The neighbour came out and asked me not to jump up and down on the wall because the mortar was brittle, and at that heavy weight of an eight-year-old boy, maybe I was going to break it. But I stood there and waited and watched and waited. My brother never arrived. Nobody had told me that he wasn't coming home that evening. So he'd gone around to a friend's house to play, and I just stood in the road waiting for him. The day faded and grew dark, and I eventually went inside for my tea. I wondered where he was and why it was that he'd never come. In the end, I gave up. He arrived back after my watch had ended, unseen by this guardian who stood on the road. But that sense of sitting and watching and waiting has stuck with me for years afterwards. You see, waiting actually is a really hard thing to do. If we simply watch, we defy the laws of physics and see time slow down and slow down and slow down till every moment we look at our watch, it seems like the second hand is going backwards. But if we busy ourselves, time does move more quickly, but we risk missing the thing we're waiting for. The passage that we've heard this morning from Luke's Gospel tries to capture some of this sense of urgency of how it is we wait for the Son of Man to come. And if we are to ready ourselves for the Son of Man, then we would do well to think about who that is. It's a name that Jesus used of himself, rooted in the imagery of the book of Daniel. It points to Jesus' return in judgment, and it was the belief of those first Christians that Jesus would come quickly. 2,000 years later, and we're still waiting. So it might be that we have some questions. I have three which we're going to try and explore this evening. Firstly, do we think that Jesus is still coming back? How do we get ready and stay ready? And lastly, what else is it that we need to be prepared for? So do we think that Jesus is still coming back? Yes. Next question. No, we do. It's really important to think about the fact that Jesus is coming back. Lots of our Christian belief is rooted in the knowledge that Jesus will return. It's the point in Daniel, the name that Jesus chooses of himself, the Son of Man, is an image associated with judgment, with Jesus coming back to judge the creation that he's made. The whole arc of Jesus' ministry on earth points towards the fact that he goes back to heaven and will return to us as well. If we look just after the ascension, recorded in Acts chapter 1, some angels are there watching Jesus go up, and the disciples wait at the bottom, staring into heaven. And the angels say to them, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking in the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back the same way that you have seen him go into heaven." So we are promised by angels and Jesus himself that he will return in glory. And that return is enormously important in how we see and understand the world around us. Because when Jesus comes back, it will bring to an end the age we live in at the moment. It will see heaven coming to earth, the end of suffering and sorrow, the coming of the kingdom of God in all of its glorious fullness. Now, we could spend weeks exploring this idea together, but it is so crucial that we understand and trust in this promise, because it is what Jesus said he would do. And Jesus, above all things, is faithful to us. When Jesus makes a promise to us, we can be sure that he will fulfill the promise that he's made. So why do we think that Jesus will come back? Because he promised that he would. That is the foundation of so much of our belief, that Jesus is faithful to us and we can trust in his promises. So we're in the same category as those disciples and the early church. We are the people of God, awaiting Jesus' promised return, which leads us on to the second question. How do we get and stay ready? I'm sure you will have seen the signs that you can get, that you can put up in your kitchen or on the fridge, even as t-shirts. It says, "Look busy, Jesus is coming." It's really important that as we wait, we don't think it's an easy thing to do. By the fact we needed to ask the first question, the process of waiting leads to doubts beginning to form in our mind, doubts which we need to overcome. Is Jesus really coming? That sense I had of my childhood waiting for my brother to arrive when he never came led to a sense of disappointment. And we don't want to be in a place where we feel disappointed with God. We want to be able to trust him. So how do we overcome that anxious childhood sense of being afraid to wait? I don't think it's a coincidence that in the book of Luke, this challenge to us of waiting for the coming kingdom of God comes just after this passage of encouragements that Jesus offers to us. Do not be afraid, little flock, Jesus says. And let's hold on to that sense of Jesus' promise to us. Do not be afraid, little flock. Do not be afraid as you wait. Don't worry about where the things you will need will come from. So long as we are willing to share the things we have with one another, the promises of the kingdom of God and the generous, abundant nature of God means we will have the things that we need. That's why Jesus tells us to remember that our treasure is in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So Jesus tells us not to be afraid. He promises that he will provide for us so that we can wait in confidence. What's the next instruction that Jesus gives, though? Be dressed and ready for service and keep your lamps burning. We're supposed to do what servants are promised to do, to await the return of their master. What we're called to is not that waiting, sitting at the sky as the disciples did at the ascension, not the cycling up and down the road and jumping on a neighbour's wall that I did when I was waiting for my brother to come home. We are not called to a dormant waiting, but a watchful waiting. We are supposed to look for the master to return. So what is it we're supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to read our Bibles, to pray, to gather together in worship, to show mercy, love, and kindness to people. These tasks shouldn't be a surprise to us, because they are the basic tasks for all Christians in our life following and serving our Lord Jesus Christ. And what we're supposed to do while we wait is the same tasks that we do. But Jesus adds one further task, which is incredibly important. The servants aren't just supposed to prepare for the master's return, but they're supposed to stand on the wall, gazing into the darkness, see the flickering of the master's lamp as he comes back. The task we are given, in addition to the normal everyday tasks of Christian faith, is to be watchful, to look for those signs of the coming of the kingdom. There is a watchfulness which we're supposed to look for, which looks at the world around us and sees signs of the kingdom coming. We watch for the work of the Spirit amongst us and in our fellowship and out in the world around us. And we bear witness to those who would hear that Jesus is coming back, so they might be able to watch too. In the parable, the servants are watching for the master's return. They look out in the darkness for the flicker of his lamp as he travels home from the wedding, but they are watchful as well as ready. This invites us to wait with our heads up, looking out for signs of Jesus' return. We can't just be a church that turns and looks inwardly on what we do together. We have to look out into the world, and in that watchfulness, we discover our third question. What else is it that we need to be prepared for? In Matthew 25, Jesus teaches his disciples about judgment and how a king judges his subjects. When he's talking about how the righteous have served them, they don't understand what it is that they've done for him. And this is what the righteous say to Jesus. Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you in truth, what you did to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you were doing for me. One of the big questions we ought to have as we watch for Jesus' return is, will we recognize Jesus as he returns? Now, when he comes in his fullness with all the powers of heaven, with the angels trumpeting and signaling his arrival, pretty sure that we will recognize Jesus at that point. But that teaching from Matthew 25 suggests there are moments of encounter with the Lord which happen before that event, which we might need to be more careful to watch for. I've just got back from New Wine. It's a Christian festival that happens in Somerset, and the strong theme throughout the week in each of the evening meetings was looking at the signs of the quiet revival. It's a report we've talked about before, and if you want to read it, the Quiet Revival Report is available from the Bible Society. And it talks about how there is a movement growing in this country of people coming back to Jesus, often without the involvement of the church, and particularly in the age range of what is known as Gen Z, which is kind of about sort of 15 up to kind of mid-20s, early 30s. There are men and women up and down this country who are encountering Jesus, who have a growing curiosity for what the gospel might mean. Sales of the Bible have rocketed, and people are sitting down and reading the scripture to discover who Jesus is. People are encountering Jesus in their dreams and coming to the church trying to work out what it is that they have discovered. They've looked at the world around them and seen that the promise sold of commercialism, of us being able to buy our success and happiness as being hollow promises. So they look instead to a greater meaning. And in that search, they discover Jesus. It's really exciting. Really, really exciting to see what God might be doing. Talk of a quiet revival has led to a phrase, a quiet awakening, that people are waking up to the promises that Jesus has for all of us. But the question then becomes for us as a church, are we watching and ready for what God might be doing in our communities? We look out into the world and we see these pockets of the kingdom breaking out. But if our watchfulness and our working is only inwardly focused, there is a risk that we are not ready when those people come to our doors. Are we willing to let go of the things that we think are important to be able to respond to what the Master is doing in the world? Are we willing to let go of some of the bits which we treasure and enjoy to then listen to what God might be calling us to do? We are incredibly busy as a church. And loads of the things which we are doing, I think, are good things which we want to celebrate. But part of being watchful and ready is the willingness to respond to the Master as he arrives. So in our prayerfulness, in our discernment, are we ready to respond to people coming to our church to discover Jesus for themselves? If Jesus came in the midst of our Sunday morning service, what would we do? Would we keep ploughing on through the service that we've planned or respond to what God is doing? If people come to the cafe in the week and walk through the doors of this building, are we ready to tell them something of what Jesus means to them? Are we ready to share the faith and the joy and the excitement we have in the gospel with those who are coming hungry and thirsty to hear what God has for them? It might be that the way that God moves in our community is not in a way that it looks like elsewhere in the nation. We might not be dealing with a quiet revival amongst 15 to 30-year-olds. We might see God moving in different parts of our community. Our task is to watch, to pray, to listen, and to respond to what Jesus is doing, because that's the task that the servants had as they watched. I don't think it's a coincidence that much of the teaching that Jesus offers on this subject is through parables that happen at night. Our experience of the nighttime is that we have street lights and torches and lights on our phone that mean the darkness is not darkness to us. But for those people in the stories, they wait at night with little more than an oil lamp to drive away the darkness. They don't see clearly. They see things in the muddled shadows of the darkness. And that is the watchfulness we are called to. Not one where we see with great clarity everything that is happening, but where we live in the darkness, trusting in the return of the Lord, using what light we have to try and make sense of it. So not everything that the Lord calls us to watch and wait for will be clear. But that is why we must be ready and faithful for what God brings to our household, what God brings to our door, that we might welcome people in, that we might share the treasure we have with them and see them and us transformed as the kingdom of God grows. As a little bit of a roadmap ahead of where we're going to go as a church over the next few weeks, and particularly kind of through till the end of November, we are going to be exploring the goodness of God and asking the question, what has God ever done for us? The reason that we're going to be exploring that is to try and equip us for those conversations where we discover people hungry to know something of the gospel. Week by week, we're going to be asking questions of what it is that God does for us, so that when people ask us why our faith matters, we actually might have something to share with them. We need to be ready. And part of that is readying our minds and our hearts to respond to what God is already doing amongst us. So let's pray as we listen for the voice of Jesus coming and knocking on the door and getting us ready. Our Bible reading this morning ended with Jesus saying these words: "You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." So we watch for the return of Jesus, who has promised he will return and is faithful to the promises he makes. As we wait, we do so prayerfully and in anticipation. We must continue the tasks of building the kingdom, but be watchful as we wait for the signs of it coming. We must be ready to see Jesus coming in ways and places and people that we didn't expect, ready to lay aside our ambitions and plans in order that we might serve the King as he returns. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the promises that you make to us. Promises that said that the Messiah would come and be born amongst his people. Promises fulfilled in Jesus. Promises made that Jesus will return in glory to bring judgment and an end to our time. And Lord, we trust in those promises. When we look at the world around us in sadness and know that we need to see your judgment and grace happening in the world, we pray for the coming of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that you would prepare our hearts and minds to be ready for your coming. Let your Spirit rest upon us and change us, that we might learn to be watchful for signs of your kingdom. We pray, Lord God, that you would help us to be watchful in the conversations we have in shops, in our homes, in our offices and workplaces, that you might help us to be watchful for where your kingdom is coming already. Give us courage to make an account of Jesus for those people who are in this world and searching for meaning. Let us offer the goodness of God to them. We pray, Lord God, that you would form and shape us as a church to be ready and watchful for signs of your kingdom here in Chester. We pray, Lord God, that you would help us to focus on the things that we do, to drop the things which are not helping as we seek to grow your kingdom, and to pick up new tasks which help us. But Lord, we pray that you would bring fruitfulness to the things that we do, for the life of our church, for the life of our church cafe, for our small groups, and in each of our lives as we seek to serve you and grow your kingdom. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.